Today we are on the shield of faith number 3 and the helmet of salvation. That's Ephesians 6, 16 and 17. Still in God's armor. Always a good topic. Before we get started, let's take a moment, and for us, a moment is simply acknowledging our sins before God the Father, so we can then be cleansed from all unrighteousness and be filled with the Spirit and able to grow successfully and also walk in His power as He wants us and commands us actually to do. So let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for everything. We're always astonished by Your Word, amazed by what its power, the power that it carries. And we thank You that we have that available to us to live the life that You have designed for us. We'd also like to pray for Dick and his family. We want to keep them in prayer. Pray that You can continue to guide their family and trust in Your timing and all these things that have happened. We'd also like to pray for the people in Ukraine and Russia. We don't really know exactly what to believe these days, but we just know that You're in control, and we know that You have a plan in that aspect, and we just pray that You eliminate the evil. And we thank You for these things, and we ask for guidance, clarity, understanding today in Your Word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So the helmet and shield of faith today, and I didn't really expect to make it to a third one. You know, I went to two. I said, okay, this is it. Nope, this is not it. Number 3, here we are. So, but it really makes sense when you think about it, how big of a topic faith is, right? It's one of those topics that is huge in the spiritual life. It's how we live. I mean, it's our identity, right? In Christ. It's how we walk. It's how we breathe. It's how we live. It's everything. So I guess when you look at it like that, it makes sense that we're on number 3. And also, when we looked at, we're into a Hebrews 11, looking at the chapter of faith there. And the Hall of Faith, and God decided to take out a whole chapter just for faith, at least in that part. You know, there's a lot on faith in the Bible, but so that tells me it's important. And God always knows when to stay on a topic. I usually don't, but He does. So let's just look at the definition one more time, just to get us oriented. Faith, or pistis, is the state of believing on the basis of the reliability of the one trusted. I love that definition. It's reliability. That's what faith, the name of the game is. In faith, it's about reliability, right? And we know that we have someone that is extremely and perfectly reliable. And so that's why this is so, I think, an exciting lesson, because we're not just talking about something that we hope for in the human sense, but in the biblical sense. That's that confident expectation that we have just waking up every day. You know, when you don't have that hope of a confidence in your day-to-day life, it's reflected in how we live and how we associate with other people. And so I think this is a good study on just bringing more confidence to us on not only what the day may bring, but what is God going to do with those things in the day and with you in the equation, and how is He going to work those things out? And that's the part that's maybe unknown, but at the same time, you're confident because you know that He will, without a doubt, work these things out to the faithful believer in Jesus Christ. So that's where we are. Good place to be, I think. And then we talked about, but we have to get to that point first, of understanding. We've got to understand. Remember, we just heard that faith comes through the knowledge of God through the Word, in a verse that we started with, and that applies without a doubt today, every day, any believer throughout the history of humanity. Faith in God, Jesus Christ, requires a knowledge of Him. It does. It requires a knowledge of Him. And that's what we've been doing, I think, learning, growing spiritually. Because we are human and we have to learn, unfortunately. And a lot of times you have to tell us more than once. At least me, you do. I'm sure you're the same way. So we just have to get it pounded in us over and over. Not only do we see it from Scripture, but we also see it in our lives. God has a way of showing that to us and confirming that to us by application, doesn't He? He says, yes, I'm faithful. You can see it, and I know you believe it, and now I'm going to show it to you. That's the process. He doesn't just leave it in your mind. He doesn't leave it on the pages of Scripture. He brings it out in your life. And that if that's not confirmation, I don't know what is. Because we see that time and time again in your application of His Word. So that's trustworthiness. That's that reliability that we continually see. You notice that it never lets us down. The shortcomings are on our end, and we all understand that. But if we can stay reliable in our growing, I think that's the main point of a lot of this, is being consistent in the spiritual life. Because, you know, once you lose that consistency, also you lose the consistency of your faith. That, remember that rope? Well, we don't want to, you know, cut the strands of the rope at the same time from lack of truth. We want that building up and moving forward, right? That's how our faith grows. So, and then we also noted that the only way God is glorified is through you believing in that He can do what He says He's going to do. Faith and trust in Him and His Word is glorifying to God. Basic, simple concept, but huge, right? Because if we're trying to live the spiritual life and we want to do it properly and we want to be a faithful believer, we have to rely on Him and His Word. That's the definition of the faithful believer. It's not you. It's not me, what I could do. It's God the Father and what His Word tells us. So, and that's where we kind of went over Hebrews 11:6 should be ringing in your ears. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So, so we just come to know who He is as our God. That doesn't change, but our knowledge changes. And so we grow, and we grow, and we change. So the change is on our end. And remember, glorify is to give someone honor, reverence, and praise. And the only way that's possible is to get to know them, is to get to know them. And it says right here, in order to be successful at it, we must be obedient. You notice it's hard to get someone to listen, at least if it's a child or maybe someone in that of all the way through, you know, younger 20s, if you haven't necessarily gained their respect some way. You know, that's a newer thing. I understand that. But they want some kind of confirmation. They're looking for something that they can grab onto to that gets them to want to listen to you. I understand it's a lack of authority orientation, right? But for the sake of this conversation, our obedience is kind of the same way. We continually get confirmation from God's Word to see how powerful He is, to see how He is our ultimate authority, and the result of that comes what? Obedience. The only thing that can come out of someone that loves you immensely is obedience. And when someone respects you, loves you, care about who you are as a person, what you do in your personal life, and where you're coming from and how you do these things, what does that draw from us? It makes me want to be a part of that. Be obedient to the God that cares about us in the way He does. So it's almost like a natural thing, isn't it? Someone that cares so deeply about us and wants to see us prosper, wants to see us grow, wants to bless us. And that makes me want to be obedient. And that's kind of that worship, that love, that respect, that honor, that's glorification of God, those things. And that's really a lifestyle, isn't it? I think it is. The Christian life is really all about just listening and then carrying out whatever God wants us to do. And I know we've been going through the armor of God's armor, and it applies here too as well. We've already seen a couple of commands to stand firm, to put on. We started with put on and then to stand. And those two commands right there, may think, okay, yeah, nothing to that, but look how many lessons we've covered. There's a lot that is involved, and keep those in mind as we go through this, because I think all this is oriented to those two commands, to put on and to stand. Remember, I think we're all to the point where we can at least put on. But to stand in the midst of spiritual warfare can be a little different for each one of us, because we're all different stages. And we all slip sometimes too. So this is very pertinent, I think, for all of us here. So needless to say, we can't follow God's command unless we believe Him. We've got to believe Him. And we have to not only believe Him, but you know the rest of that, right? Understand them. I think that's why God gave us so much information. Like, couldn't He have simplified this manual and put it into a little bitty book and said, "Here, here's what you need to know"? Well, He did that. And this is the size we have. So, anyways, so we've got to understand, we have to know before we can believe, and God gives us the means. He gives us the people. He gives us the book to do that, His Word. And, you know, as you well know, sometimes we spend a week on one Greek word. I can't help it. God has that word pretty packed. You know, you've got to unzip it and kind of explain it. And you know, sometimes we feel inadequate in that area, because it's a word that God has designed for us to grow by. At the same time, we have to be able to explain it in such a way where it's applicable to us. But God gives it to us. He does. He knows how to do it. He finds a way. And here we are, right? It's continuing on. And just the fact that you can take those words into your brain and display them. Remember, we talked a little bit about that. Your witness, your testimony is really amazing when you think about what you are capable of through the Word. You're not a walking Bible, but you're a walking mind of Christ. That's the goal. That's our objective, as to think, to change into His mind and to come to think just like He did. Not necessarily how the world thinks. You know, I was thinking about when Jesus ate with the prostitute. There was a lot of people that didn't really like that. They didn't appreciate the fact that He did that. But that just shows you what we have available to us in our thought process. It's not about who the people are. It's not about what they're involved in. It's not about what status they are. It's about they have a soul. They have something in them. They are created in the image of God. And we know without a doubt that they have a potential to be in the family of God. Or if they already are, they have a potential to continue in that upward path of spiritual growth. Everybody's different in that aspect. And so keep displaying it. Keep putting that testimony out there. A lot of times we feel like we're not doing enough. You know, God doesn't seem to be providing a lot of those opportunities that we may desire, that we may be looking for. But guess what? Just by you walking out of the house and associating and seeing people is a big deal. That is a testimony. People pick up on how you think, whether you know it or not. We are very receptive, and we can even be discerning, as you know, even unbelievers can see things that are supernatural and they can't explain them necessarily, but they don't understand the love. They don't understand the compassion. They don't understand things, the patience that you have that isn't from us, but it's from God and the Holy Spirit that we can produce from Him, right? And because we know His Word, and it makes perfect sense because we've been given grace. So why can't we give that grace to other people? And I think that's, if we can do that in our testimony, that's the best witness I think you can ever accomplish. Is because it draws, remember, I think it was a while back we talked about when we associate with people, we either draw them closer to God or we push them away. And that's something important to keep in mind because that can happen in casual conversation. We can either draw them just a tiny bit or they can, you know, or we're going to push them away. There really is no neutral ground there when it comes to, that's why this is so important of this spiritual warfare. Because it is a moment by moment thing that we do of whether we're in fellowship or whether we're out. And it's almost like we've got to be fully prepared going out there because if we don't have that testimony, guess what we're doing? We're, like I saw on the news, some of these Ukrainian soldiers are trying to get out of there. Well, they're supposed to be staying and fighting. That's what they're making them do, most of those soldiers. A lot of them are trying to get out of there. We don't want to be that person, at least in the spiritual life, right? We want to be the person that stays and fights. We don't want to be the person that leaves our gear sitting at home and then we go play, you know, over here or take a vacation. That's not how the spiritual life works. So you want to be proud of your heritage in Christ. It's a good way to put it, I think. So be proud of that and then and follow God's commands. And that's how I think our obedience comes through in your witness. It is how you think, right? You can definitely, I think, tell a humble and obedient Christian if you spend enough time with them. You don't have to know what they believe in. You don't have to know what they do necessarily on their own free time. But you can tell something is different about them and you can tell they have a spiritual life and you tell where their priorities are. You know what? That says a lot right there. That says a lot to people, especially to people that aren't necessarily where you are spiritually. You know, that's that drawing effect, I think. Hey, I want that. And then we left off going through Hebrews 11 and looking at a few of these verses. And now we're on verse 8. Let's keep going. It says, by faith, Abraham went to a place he didn't know to receive an inheritance. Verse 9 says, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So, you know, this is just a picture of faith right here. How many times do we choose to not go in a certain direction because of the unknown? Well, this is why I think this example is brought out. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was staying necessarily. He didn't know the people he was going to be around. It says foreign land, dwelling in tents. So that doesn't mean that we, just because we don't know, or there may be danger, there may be all the things that we can think about and come up on our own, all we need to know is God's word. The fact that he was told and the fact that he trusted in the one who told him, faith in God, is the reason he was able to carry out the duties and responsibilities that God had for his life. So don't ever let the unknown intimidate you. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't or should do something. Make sure you're in God's will, obviously. Right, but what I am telling you that if it is God's will and something is holding you back from doing something because of the unknown or something that you may think might happen, Don't let that affect you. Because what should be driving you more is that understanding and that soul gut feeling about that confirmation from God's Word. Is this right? Is this what I should do? Because the Holy Spirit is driving this, right? There's a divine guidance in everything. So we don't want to step in front of that and stop the process. Well, sometimes we get intimidated by the future. And that can hinder us. And I think it can hinder our usefulness in the plan of God, big time. So be careful about that. Things that I'm talking about are fear, worry, and these should never be a part of God's plan and equation when it comes to using you. Where does He want you to be? How does He want you to do it? And who's going to be around you when you're doing it? These are things we constantly, you know, we worry about. Because we don't know, but we don't have to know. We know who our God is. So, and we all know that God will protect us wherever you go. Wherever you go. Can you imagine being like the people in Ukraine right now? What if that was here? What if we were going north or south or wherever we could to get out, right? Would we be intimidated, or would we be scared? Would we be to the point where we were being rude and throwing people down and panicking? And, you know, we have to be able to think. And the only way we're going to be able to think in these situations is to know without a doubt who's in control. It's not the people. It's not the enemy. It's God who's in control. And if we really truly understand that, you know how much better and smoother and more efficient you'll be as a Christian soldier in Christ? Very effective, very effective. Faith is a lot more powerful than we give it credit for. So God will protect us wherever we go. And then verse 11, remember I'm cherry picking these. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. Now, this one I kind of had to laugh a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of good Christian women out there who are very faithful. But, man, when they can't have a conceive, all of a sudden that faith goes right out the window. Right? It's a big deal. It's a big deal to mothers. It can be a game changer. A lot of them feel like it, you know, this is all they have. And if I can't have a child, you know, faith is the thing that solves problems. Whether you can or you can't, you see how that really isn't the issue? That's not the issue. The issue is trusting in the one who decides on the solution. If God has decided on why we should maybe not, or why we should wait, in this case, till you're 90-something years old, right? Which it was impossible, scientifically impossible at that point, but not with God. Not with God. So if He wants you to wait or not have a child, think about faith. Think about what we're doing and how we're going about it when He's trying to say, hey, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe you're not in a position in your life to be able to afford this right now. Maybe you're not going to be with this husband by the time this is all said and done with. There's a lot of things that we don't know and we can't see just because of something we want so bad. Sometimes our eyes are like this because we want it. It's something that, you know, God made me this way and I was raised this way and this is what I want, a baby. Well, now you got one. Now you got to change all those diapers and wipe all those noses. And so, but you get the point, I think. Faith is something that God gives us to where we don't have to panic if we don't have something that we truly, truly desire or even thought we were going to naturally get. You know, she had it. How can she? All my other friends are having them, right? How did? No. There's a decision that was made in heaven on this. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just, you know, because. Could it have been from some of your decision? Yes, but the divine solution is still there. It doesn't matter. Your decisions may come into play. That still doesn't matter. You are in a situation that you have to deal with right now. Whether it's from your bad decisions or not, God still provides a solution, and it's still to your benefit. And obviously that solution that He's providing is without something that you may have wanted. So see how it's still beneficial to you, even though sometimes it comes from bad decisions. God always turns bad into good, doesn't He? He does. I don't know how He does that, but He does. Every single time He does. If we just trust Him, things can take place that are not humanly possible. Not humanly possible. You can see it here, and you can see it in your own life with your health, some of you. And you can see it in your jobs. You can see it every day. Things that are not humanly possible are possible with faith. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham offered up his only begotten son, Isaac. So, is this verse 17? I have a different translation. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up his only begotten son, Isaac. So, I think I didn't get the whole verse here. But I have the whole verse here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested. Let me tell you what this word tested means. It means to make known the quality or character of something by testing it. That's what it means. So this is to prove spiritual character and the steadfastness of faith is what it's doing. It's to prove, you know, like get the impurities out to see if it's pure, to see if it can stand the test of time. This is what happens when God tests us. Abraham was being seriously tested right here with his only son. Guess what? It was something he really wanted. It was something that he was so close to him, something that he cared for, something that he didn't want to do. First of all, he didn't want to see his son Isaac die. And then now compound that triply when he's the one who's doing the sacrificing. You see how much faith this would have took? If you think about your own son or daughter, someone's like, I couldn't pull that off. A lot of us couldn't, our own son or daughter. If God directly told you, though, you know, you got to think about that. There's faith involved that we have to come to this decision that, okay, this is how powerful faith is. It's not about what we desire. I think that's where the waters get muddied right there. We have a tendency to lose faith because we thought that it was good. We thought that that direction was the right direction, and with all these things coming in together, because see, we had a plan, we had a desire, and we knew what we wanted. But then everything gets changed around. Everything gets shuffled. And then we have a tendency to get distraught, get our hopes down and lose the most important thing that we've been talking about, faith. Just be, we always hear that the Christian should be flexible. And that is very true. The Christian has to be flexible because things change. If you haven't lived for more than a day, you should know that. Or if you have lived more than a day, you should know that. Things change. Little jobs, big jobs, family relations, you name it, jobs, coworkers, things that we imagine and we see in our mind of how God is going to put these things together. We may be even praying for these things to come together like this, and they get changed. Well, wait a minute. We throw up our hands. This isn't what I was thinking. Oh, wait, you just said the key words, not what you were thinking. Remember, we're going to talk about this, and part of growing in the plan of God is prayer. It's a big part of it, right? Is prayer. But at the same time, we have to understand that we need to pray in accordance with the will of God. Because see, there it is again, that those two plans. We can't have two plans. There's only one plan. And we have to come to the decision that we need to get our plan in line with God's plan. And it's so easy to do that because, you know, we all have a desire. And what's even more amazing to me is that God knows that. God knows that. And many times what He does is He does something different, but He keeps your desire in mind. And he puts a little twist on it, and then He gives it to you on a different platter. And you go, whoa, there it is. It's almost like His sense of humor. Because you had faith, and He just wanted to twist things a little bit. But you said, you know what, that doesn't bother me. God is going to He's going to continue, and I'm going to trust Him. And you know, things may be different, and we're just going to keep going because I trust Him, and I love who He is, and I know who He is as well. And then all of a sudden, there it is. There's what your deepest desire. He knew what you truly wanted. And He actually, many times, it's even better. It's even better. Because the timing's different. The situation's different. The, you know, everything's different. It's the perfect timing. So not only is it lining up in your life with the timing, financially, everything's better. It's like, wow. It's just mind-blowing. It really is. And that is what faith does. That is what faith does. It relies on a perfection. See, it's easier to say that than to explain it to you. But you must have faith in a perfect plan. You must have faith in a perfect plan. And we do. But the application of that is where we may kind of sway a little bit back and forth. But see, your faith is truly in someone that is perfect and someone that is truly doing things to your benefit perfectly. Now, okay, now go apply that, right? That's the part that we have to come to the understanding about. That's the part that we need to grow, the spiritual growth, and know in God's timing and trust in Him, even when you get bit by a snake. That's okay, right? Bumps and bruises are okay. Things that we see as a negative are okay. You know, we look at health things. How could God put me in this position? How can He do this? You know, I can't even, you know, it even hinders my ministry. Have you thought about that? It hinders my work for Him. I've tossed these things all around. I'm sure you have too. How does it, guess what? Faith. That's where solutions start to come in when we have all these questions. We don't question, we watch and we trust is what God wants us to do. We shouldn't question. We're human, we do. But remember who we're serving, the God who we're serving. He doesn't have to explain. He just wants us to trust. Because if you're explaining, that's not trusting. Right? You tell someone to go do this, why? You know, that's not trusting who the other person is on the other side of the command or on the other side of the pages of Scripture. We necessarily don't always need to know why. We just need to understand sometimes the information that we're given. But when things happen in our life that we don't understand, that's okay. It just takes faith to have that calm collectiveness and that contentment in your life that allows you to be happy no matter what changes, no matter what shifts. So there's your flexibility. I think that's what every Christian needs to be. So, and this is testing. Remember, Abraham was tested, and that tests the level of progress in spiritual growth is what that does. The word offer in this verse means to give up something or give away by willingly bringing it. Now, that's important because there's a willingness here on Abraham's part. He didn't do it grudgingly. He didn't do it of necessity. He didn't do it by slamming his door. He didn't do it by slamming something on, with a little bit of an attitude there, right? He did it willingly. He did it. How can we say that? There was enough humility there, enough faith there to understand that this was God's plan. This was God's plan for his life. So when you understand That's right.
This do in remembrance of me.
There you go. That's what we're talking about, right?
That's it.
That's it. And that's a good verse. And we'll get to that, won't we? That's right. So we have to remember things like that. This do in remembrance of me, right? If we can apply that on a day-to-day basis, can you imagine how much farther we can go with faith? If we can just remember, like Abraham did here, he offered up his only son. Why? Because he was thinking. He was thinking about his Savior who led him to this place. So, testing. Don't be discouraged. We just have to remember. Thank you for that. So, you know, most people look at this verse and they say, I would have hated to be in Abraham's position. But we can't look at it like that because, as you well know, who's on the other side of this? And what an honor, it is to the one having the faith, to the believer that is capable of these things that he was able to do, that he sure as heck didn't want to do in the human sense or out of fellowship sense, but he had so much faith, and when God told him to do that, he said, check. You know, it's if you read through these scriptures, it just says, do this, okay. There's no complaining, there's no looking around, it's just going by the books and carrying out the orders. That's faith. That's honor. I think that shows a lot through, of course, God, right? But Abraham allowed that power of God to pass through him through faith. So this goes to show you, even when it comes to situations in your own family where people may not be physically dying or sacrificed, but there are sacrifices. There are sacrifices in our family. Sometimes we feel like people are dead, or they're dying, or they're separated, or there are certain things that happen where we don't like to see. We don't like it, and we wish that it could be another way. But faith allows you to have an understanding that says, okay, God has a plan, He has a solution, and sometimes He's just waiting on you to trust in Him and not look to the person who is being sacrificed. We can't look to them. We can't look to ourselves for solutions. There's a human sense that we have to push back on, and we have to totally rely on God to solve the problem. All problems are solvable, but it takes God to solve them. So they can seem to be overwhelming, I know, devastating. And many times these things leave you with many unanswered questions, but faith takes care of unanswered questions, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And we also know in this situation that what? Abraham was willing, but there was also what? An angel that stopped Abraham just before he sacrifices Isaac. And the Lord provided him with a ram in its place. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, your desire. God knows that. Look what he did. You can't really say this is a sense of humor. He was just playing with Abraham. But look what he did. He said, you know what? I see that you trust. I see that you are fully willing to do exactly what I told you to do. And what are we going to do? I don't want you to do that. You've already been proved. You've proven yourself. I've tested you and you've passed the test. And that's really what this is, what this is all about when it comes to testing in your own spiritual life. Passing the test through faith. Every single test in your life requires faith. Every single one. I don't care which one you go through. They're going to require you to trust. Because they're not easy, as you well know. And God is going to test you to your capability, maximum. And we see him, Abraham's capability. It was big. But he still passed. He passed. And then God said, oh, you're not doing that. Nope, I'm going to take that one out. And really, he kind of tells us, I think he's just trying to tell us, see, you didn't have anything to worry about in the first place. Look here, I provided it anyways. That's what he does a lot of times. We worry and worry and worry, and then, you know, you get to the point where you finally, okay, I trust. And then he gives it to you anyways. Wow. All that time I've spent just sitting there, you know, flustered and worried and kind of like verse 23. That was by faith Moses was hidden when he was born. Remember that one? Hidden when he was born. Remember the Pharaoh made an order to throw all the newborn boys into the Nile River because he was scared the Jews were going to take over, right? So he said, throw all the boys in the river. He had a lot of worry there. And Moses' mother, Jochebed, say that 10 times, she put him in a basket and floated him down a river. How did she do that? How can you take a newborn baby, put him in a basket, in a river? I'm thinking of the Trinity River. Man, I don't know. That would be a little bit scary. There's some big old fish in that river. With teeth. And there's currents in that river. I don't know exactly how the Nile was then. It's probably different now than it was then, maybe. But you get the point. It takes faith to do these things. It takes faith. And that just goes to show you. Let's see, 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. That's self-explanatory. I think we actually talked about this one a few Sundays ago. See, you have the capability to do the impossible. What seems to be impossible is possible because of what you believe in. Verse 30, by faith, the wall of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. So this is kind of an interesting one. And here I found a picture of the wall of Jericho. This story is found in Joshua 6:1-27, if you're interested in looking at this. This is where God told Joshua to have the people march around the city 7 times, and on the 7th time, the walls would fall in. Now, this was a city that was unconquerable. It wasn't something that people could just go in and take over because of these walls. And, of course, they had, you know, artillery and people to fight. But when you combine all these things, it was very hard to conquer the city. But look at the orders. They don't really even make sense. March around the city 7 times and the walls, boom. Okay, what does that take? Faith. Here's the walls. So you can see at the very back, you see this thing goes up 30 foot from the ground? And not only that, but look at the very front. It still slopes. It continues to slope down. So not only are it takes some work to get past these walls, right? In total length, I mean, these things are well over 30 feet from the back to the front. So that would be intimidating. To look at that and say, okay, we're supposed to walk around this city 7 times and those things are going to go away? Well, that's exactly what happened. Because the walls of Jericho fell down on the 7th time they marched around the city. And they were able to take the city and defeat them. So, and I'll read this and we'll take our break. Hebrews 11:33-34. And this is just kind of an overview of everything that just took place. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, perform acts of righteousness, obtain promises, shut the mouths of lions, familiar with that, quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. I mean, those things are not humanly possible when we think about how we're going to do something. Or, I can't even see the end of the tunnel here. I can't see the light. I can't see anything. All I see is just shut down. Look at these things I just read through. We cannot shut the mouth of a lion for sure, but faith can. That's how powerful faith is. We just have to come to understand that. And if the more we grow, the more we get to the point in our spiritual life where we do understand that, the easier, the more happy, the more joy you will have in life, because God is the one in control and you truly understand that. And you can watch Him. Watch Him work and sit back and trust. And that's where we want to be as Christians. That's where we all want to be. So, and then we'll come back and we'll look at our context here back in verse 16, because we need to see how this shield of faith works with extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now that you know how powerful it is, I took a little detour on there, but hey, it was worth it to understand how powerful God is. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you just to see how faithful you are, just to see how consistent you are, how powerful you are, how powerful faith is, and that you've given us the ability to use. And the first place that you let us in on the plan was in faith in Jesus Christ, who you sent to die for the sins of the world. And you offered that to us because you knew that we had sin and we couldn't have that, reconcile that relationship with you, but you knew who could. And it was the God-man who was sinless and who paid that penalty on our behalf. And then you made it available to us and you gave it to us and you said, here, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Faith, faith alone in Christ alone. And we're so grateful of the power of faith, that our own salvation can come through belief in the power, in your power, of what you can do on a cross through your Son. We thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.